Especially those that tuned in and said, hey, like the Morrisseys and others, we just pray, we prayed for you. We believe that God's touched your bodies, and we're believing for supernatural touches. Amen. Good to see Christy. Amen. How's the baby doing? Good. Amen. We're praying for that new baby, destiny and purpose and future. Amen. Praise God. I'm sure you traveled through our construction. We got the sidewalk. Pastor Phil was very excited to get that so you wouldn't have to be tripped up coming too far a distance. So what a blessing. So we blessed Spirit-Filled Lighthouse this morning in their services. Amen. A couple weeks ago, I shared with you the significance of how we were founded 28 years ago. It was the first Sunday in May. We had our first church service here in 1990 with three families, 13 people, and from that time, we've seen many people come and go. Many have been planted in other places around the country, and we're just excited for you that have been planted here. But I laid some things out, and I want to start by saying this. I gave a quote that Helen Keller had spoken, and I want to reiterate that. She said there's only one thing worse than being blind, and she says being able to see and having no vision. And we know the significance. We know what Proverbs says. If you don't have a vision, it says people throw off their restraints. We see it all the time when there's no vision in someone's life. All of a sudden, their check and balance system gets thrown out, and almost anything and everything goes. So we're believing, and we're standing against the wiles of the enemy. We already know Jesus defeated the enemy. All we're to do is to occupy and to share the gospel with those that come across our path. And we are being raised up as disciples. Say, I'm a discipler. A discipler is somebody that's not just happy to be saved, but wants to take the kingdom within them and give it away to others. And so we're learning how to be more effective in that way because it blesses us and it blesses others, of course, and we reap what we sow. But I'm going to start with a scripture this morning. If you'll turn your Bibles or your phones, if your Bible's in that, to Matthew chapter 7, and I want to lay this foundation this morning, and this is what it says. It's Jesus laying out the significance of laying a foundation in your life. Now, I want to, in the next number of weeks, I want to lay again the foundation of what this work is founded on, our foundational principles. I'm going to take one of them today and develop it. Hopefully, that will bless you. But see what Jesus said, and I'm going to begin. Chapter 7 of Matthew, verse 24 says, whoever hears these sayings of mine, Jesus speaking, and does them, I will liken unto a wise person who builds their house on the rock. And we know the rock is Jesus, and it's this word. And it says, rain will come, floods will come, winds will blow, it will beat upon the house. Now, the house is who? Us, you. So in other words, you're going to get storms, you're going to get challenges just because you serve Jesus. It's not a piece of cake, amen? So you're going to get beat on with winds and storms and so forth. And then it goes on, it says, and we did not fall, for we were founded upon the rock. Everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them is like a foolish person. Doesn't say it's an unsaved person, says they're foolish. Because they build upon sand. Again, the rains come and the floods come and the winds blow and it beats upon their house and it falls. And many times the Lord gets blamed. And we know that the Lord is not our enemy. We know the enemy sends the storms. We know the enemy beats and sends the adversities that come our way. And that's why when we're sharing the gospel with others, we don't say, come to Jesus, it's a piece of cake. No, come to Jesus. Your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You're going to heaven. But now begins the war. Not with anybody other than the enemy, but the war begins through the challenges of life. Someone says, I thought if you were saved, we shouldn't have health issues or we shouldn't have financial challenges. The health issues, the financial challenges are the storms of life that come. But because you're being trained up on the rock of Jesus and His Word, they are not going to take you out. But what happens is when we choose, because we get offended or we get hurt, we begin to separate ourselves from the body of Christ and from one another, we're no longer following the mandate that was laid out by Jesus. He says to build his church on his word or on him. And so when we lay these foundational scriptures, and I want you now, if you've got your Bibles again, to go to the first foundational scripture that Shield of Faith is founded on, because we do know that we are constantly under attack. And I shared a couple weeks ago, sometimes attacks are not just our enemy. Sometimes it can be our friends, our beloved other brothers and sisters in the Lord that just doesn't understand where we're at and why we are where we're at. So we got to realize we don't reciprocate that towards them. So looking at John now, and we're looking at the book of chapter 13. And this is our number one foundational scriptures here at Shield of Faith that I want to develop today. And it's found verse 34 and 35. Jesus again speaking. He says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, you also love one another." Now, before we go any further, we have love to give away because who first loved us? Jesus. This is not something, well, I'm going to love God and then he's going to love me. No, he first loves us and then we get this love. And then it goes on, "By this love that we have one for another, they're going to know that we're his disciples." Now remember, I challenged you 2 weeks ago and I'm going to challenge you today. I believe that you that are here over a lengthy time are not content with just being a convert, that you want to be a disciple and then a discipler. And if you do, you're in the right place because it's no longer just about you getting to heaven. It's about you helping others get to heaven and bringing heaven to earth. Amen? Amen. And so we look at this by this love. Now, I was focusing on this and I was triggered in a number of areas. But do you know the one area that the world is yearning to find? It's love. Do you know the very element that God puts into our hearts? In fact, you don't need to turn to this, but it's in your notes. I'm going to speak it right now because this is what happened when you got saved. I'm going to read out of Romans. Stay right where you're at, but Romans chapter 5 says this. This is Paul to the Christians in Rome. It says, "Hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit." Everyone that's a believer got the love of God, love. Everybody say love. This is unconditional love was poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit that we got when we got saved.
Amen.
Who was given to us. So I'm here to tell you right now, nobody in here can say, "Oh, if I just had as much love as this person, or if I could just love like Pastor Kathy, or if I could just love like Sister Stephanie." You can, because he's no respecter of persons, and he's poured out his love in all of our lives, and the world wants that love. They don't want you. They want the love that we carry.
Amen.
It just so happens they'll want us then because they're after this love. Now, you can say, "Oh, they really want the God in us." Ultimately, God is what? Love, of course. And he's in us in the Holy Ghost. So they're after God, but they're after the love that's supposed to be in our hearts, which is in our hearts, that's supposed to get out of our lives and touch others. Now, what is the world after? I was telling my wife, I was going through just my lifespan, and I was looking at all the love songs that are out there. I mean, all of them are after trying to get people to get their attention because the world is after what? Being loved on. There's two current suicides out there, and all of a sudden all the attention is to suicide. Do you know that money in itself will not keep someone from killing themselves? Do you know fame and prestige and being popular isn't going to keep people from killing themselves? Do you know the only thing that's going to keep people from killing themselves is the love of God that we are beholders of that needs to get out of us and be poured on others? That's why we were founded upon love, because God imparted us with it and he wants us never to forget.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you right now, because I was challenging some of my leadership that was with us from the start. I said, have you put that principle into memory? I'm going to challenge you. If you don't have John 13, 34, and 35, or 33 and 34 in your heart, you need to get that in your heart. I don't care if you know the address of where it's at, but you need to understand this commandment that he gave us, that we're supposed to love one another as he first loved us, and because of that, they're going to want what we have because they're going to see us in love with each other.
Yes, sir.
So, I was thinking of some of the popular songs, and you can go through your iTunes and find All You Need Is Love. All you need is love. All you need is love. Love. Love is all you need. That's all you need. That's the world crying out. That's all we need. Then I was thinking of one that was popular in my day. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. Now listen, that's the only thing that there's not, a little love. They're crying for what we are beholding. We are releasers of love that the world needs. We are the ones that carry it. But they're going to sing. Do you know God created the artist? Do you know that he created the painters and the musicians? And do you know that in their heart, they're crying out to sing about love, to paint about love, to show the beauty of creation? That's because God made us in his likeness and image. Even if you're not serving God, you know we're still made in his likeness and image. And do you know the only thing that's going to fill the hole in people's lives, that get them out of all their junk and all their things, they come against the things of God? It's the love of God. So, if this is the case, my wife and I, one of our favorite places we love to go to is Disney. And we're thinking, why is it that we love that place? Every movie, everything, for the most part, you can look for the perversion in anything, but whether it's Snow White, Cinderella, It's a Small World, whether we're looking at The Littlest Mermaid, even the Hunchback of Notre Dame, Hunchback was just looking to be loved. And yet, the whole theme of it, Beauty and the Beast, can we love somebody for who they are and not what they look like? And when we do that, we end up reaping a pretty good-looking person. Almost everything they produce that's successful is because the theme around it is trying to get to connect with this element we were created with. It's a love element. So why wouldn't we want to found our work on loving others?
Amen, brother.
Because he first loved us.
Amen.
Do you know we can talk about it when we give weddings? We always tell that we husbands are supposed to love our wives as Christ loved the church. That's a big word, but it's a big healthy challenge. But if it wasn't possible, we wouldn't be able to do it, but it is possible because all things in Christ are possible. So our whole life has been purposed to be laid out so that we learn how to receive his love, not to keep it in ourselves. Hardest thing I have is getting people that have biological families to get that same love that the Lord wanted to be released upon the church. Do you know Jesus didn't have any biological kids? He had a lot of spiritual kids, didn't he? Do you know that Paul didn't have any biological kids? And he spoke in the Corinthians all about love that we study. Do you know John the Beloved that hung out with Jesus? And I never see anything portrayed. I never see him with a family. He could have had a family. You that research it, find it. I was trying to. But I did find out he was restricted, put on an island to spend the last of his life. And all he did was write about the love of God. And the love of God needs to be released into others. Isn't it amazing that we can try to box and think you can only love if you've got a wife or a husband, and that's not what Jesus says? You're supposed to love everybody. We're not saying we have to love everybody romantically, but it does say we have to love one another. And so my challenge today is to evaluate our walks and to see where we can get stronger in releasing this that's already in us. It's called the love of God that's been shed abroad in our hearts.
Amen.
The commandment that he gave us. Amen. By this, they're going to know we're his. He so loved us that even when he went on the cross, We were still doing stupid stuff. And even though he died for our sins, we still ended up, after we received him doing stupid stuff, you know, he still looks at our good and he loves us and he wants us to know that there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus.
Yes, sir.
And he wants us to grab those tunes and encourage others with them.
Good word.
So, knowing all the songs of the artists and all they did and what they were trying to do, if you got your Bibles, look at John the Beloved. I want to lay it out so clear of this love that God has put in our hearts. But I'm looking at 1 John now. 1 John chapter 2. And I'm just going to cruise through. You can just listen if you want. I'm going to highlight. Here's John the Beloved. He was called the Beloved because he loved Jesus so much and he was loving on others like he loved Jesus. That's why Jesus on the cross talked about, that's your mother. That wasn't his biological mother, but he was trying to make a point that we have spiritual mothers and spiritual fathers. You believe that?
Yes.
You believe when people adopt children, they love those children just as much as they do biological kids?
Amen.
So I guess Jesus can love all of us just as much as if we actually birth biological kids. Amen? So the love isn't based on whether or not we are physically connected. The love is based on, are we spiritually connected? And if we're spiritually connected, that love is not just supposed to be for our own. It's supposed to reach out and be released so others experience what Jesus gave us freely. And this is how John the Beloved says, and I'm going to begin at verse 3. And my caption, I got the New King James Spirit-filled version, but it says this, my caption says, here's the test to the body of Christ to whether or not you truly believe. And it says this, we know that we know him if we are keeping his commandments. He who says I know him and does not keep the commandments is just lying and not telling the truth. Whoever keeps his word, truly, the love of God is being perfected in their lives. And by this love that's being perfected, we know that we're his. So the way he knows that we're his is the love that's being perfected, not just for God, because that was freely given to us. It's how we are giving it to others. Stay with me. It goes on, says, he who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk. Verse 9. If we're in the light and we hate a brother. Now this isn't even directed to the world. This is directed to brothers and sisters in the Lord. If we have issues and we come against brothers and sisters in the Lord. Now stop a second. Have you ever heard from me ever criticizing Catholics, Methodists, Presbyterians, Assembly of Gods? No. Why not? Because they're our brothers and they're our sisters. And just because the name of our building is Shield of Faith does not exclude the rest of the body of Christ. And we're going to be made known by the love we have for the body of Christ, not on how we love Shield of Faith, folks.
Right.
Yeah, Shield of Faith is included. That should be a given. And do you know that sometimes the biggest struggles to love the believer starts with the local body? I can tell you why. It's why moms and dads have most of their arguments, because the ones you're the closest to are the ones it's the easiest to hate. And the ones that you submit your lives to are the ones it's easiest for you to get mad at, because we get our feelings hurt. But see, they're out there, the world is looking at us to see, do we love ourselves? Do we love each other unconditionally? Or do we put conditions on one another? See, the Lord doesn't put the conditions on. Yeah, he puts the commandments. He wants us to do it so that we will reap what we sowed. But see, it's up to us to learn how to be better lovers to the body of Christ. Why? Because we are disciples. And disciples want to bring others into the camp. And the way they come into the camp is because they're watching us and seeing how we exist. Chapter 3 of 1 John, staying with John the Beloved. I'm going to begin at verse around 11. It says, for this is the message that you've heard from the very beginning, we should love one another. Now, if you went through and underlined every time it tells us to love one another, you'd see how many times John the Beloved was trying to get that point across. We're supposed to be loving on one another. And it goes on, verse 13. Do not marvel, believers, if the world hates you. We know that you passed from death to life because we love the brotherhood. He who does not love his brother is operating in a death capacity. Whoever hates his brother is an actual murder. So the emphasis of church, why we're grounded and founded in love, is because that's what we've got to convey, because that's what's really in our heart. Your head is going to come against you, but your heart, the love of God is shed abroad in our heart. It's the real you. It's in your spirit. You got to get it out of here, and from here is how you love one another. You love opposition. You love people that come against you that are believers. You're supposed to love everybody. God so loved the what? World, that he gave Jesus to come so we could do the same. Love the world, but especially we're supposed to be loving the body of Christ. So again, the challenge is we speak negative, or we don't come against anybody wherever they go to church or whether they don't go to church. There's a lot of Christians that are not going to church because they've been hurt in church. Because again, the ones you get to know the most are the ones that can hurt you the easiest. John the Beloved, Jesus before him, and also Paul was trying to get us beyond the head to get us in heart love one for another. They're going to know us by the love we have one for another, not for the disagreements that we find or the things that we don't align with. I always watch Pentecostal brothers and sisters getting on their case because, oh boy, if they don't speak in tongues, they're just not going to make it. And I'm thinking, there's nothing in the scripture that says that you got to speak in tongues to go to heaven. Now, it does say it'll benefit you and so forth, but it doesn't. It's not a separation. Well, you know, their cups now, or their cups are only half full. You know what? There's a lot of people speaking tongues. Their cups are almost dead empty. Just by the fruit that's coming from their lives. I'm telling you, God is looking at fruit that's coming from our life, and that should be love one for another. Amen. And so, we see, as I slip over to some more, verse 16 says this, by this again, we know love because he laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for believers. Yours may say brethren, but that means believers. And it goes down to verse 23. And this is the commandment, that we should believe on his name of his son Jesus Christ and love one another as he gave us that commandment. Now, you've heard me say that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are kind of transition. Jesus is taking us from the old covenant to the new. So, but here we got in the epistles, new covenant, referring back to how important that commandment was, that we love one another. Because it's going to impact your own family. My gosh. The thing is, I thank God, and nobody chooses who you're born. I thank God that my mom and dad never criticized. I was never raised in a home of criticism towards wherever. In fact, when I started to date a Catholic, my mom and dad didn't say, ooh, they got cooties over there. They're not really saved. They said, well, let's get to meet her. Oh, she's a beautiful young lady. Her mom and dad weren't saying, oh, a Protestant. Oh, my gosh, you can't be with him. While people were being killed over in Ireland over whether or not you went into a Catholic or a Protestant. I'm telling you, that's the devil. Amen. He's trying to get us to break down and not be on the same team. And all along, we're on the same team. Amen. So we learn to break and shed that religious stuff off us. And get back to what makes a difference. Loving one another as the commandment Jesus laid out. And John the Beloved is reciprocating. Love one another as he gave us this commandment. Chapter 4, I'm still in the Beloved John. Chapter 4, I'm going to pick up at verse 7. It says, Beloved, let us love one another. You know how he's calling us Beloved? This was written for us. He didn't even know us. Now, he's in heaven now, so I'm sure he knows us, but beloved, let us love one another. Love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love doesn't know God. This is how I think it operates. I think someone can know God But they haven't chose to be a disciple or to get in and realize, I got to let that love be developed so it doesn't just stay in me, but it gets out of me and it touches those around me. And it may start with your biological family, but it's supposed to spill out and touch others that the Holy Ghost brings into your life. Because he says he orders the footsteps of righteous men and women. Do you know you're righteous not because of anything you did, but because of what he did? And what he did, and you receive what he did, you become righteous. Right standing. You are the tool then the Holy Ghost is going to use to bring people across your path. Now, if you would be honest with yourself, you would stop and think, since I've been saved, I have people all over stop and come across my path. I mean, even today, I have people out where I live out in the boonies, people stopping that they're lost. I don't treat anybody as if they're lost. I say, hey, do you need prayer? Is there anything you need? Most of the time, they'll say yes. I don't say, well, you know, I'm a pastor, and I know some scripture. No, I say, hey, anything you need, call. Oh, no, it's not a wrong number. There's no wrong numbers. Is there any needs you got in your life? And all of a sudden, you get in tune that there's no accidents. Everything is set up, and people come across your path to make your life better because you can release the love of God that's been shed abroad in our hearts. I can go anywhere in Saginaw and run into believers from all over the place and not be awkward because there's nothing but love I had to shed and to speak on their behalf. And that's how the body's supposed to be operating. And that's why we will stay founded on love, because love will cover a multitude of stupid stuff. And guess what? We've all done the stupid stuff. So let's not focus on other people's stupid stuff, because we had enough if we wanted to focus. But because there's no condemnation, I'm not focusing on the stupid stuff. And I'm not encouraging you to focus that on others too. Amen? So we have, if someone says, verse 30 or 20, I love God, but you hate your brother. Again, here's another illustration. You're lying. You cannot hate a brother or sister in the Lord. You cannot. Because I said so? No. We're reading this for the second time. So my challenge to Shield of Faith, if you got any brother or sister in the Lord, I'm not talking about biological now. If you know believers, if you've come against them in negative ways, get over it. Because you don't want God to give you your due rewards. I'm telling you what, it could be nasty. Well, I'm not saying that to scare you, because he won't. Amen. He won't do that. Because the love of God, he is, was given to us to do this back. Look with me, verse 21. And the commandment we have from him is that he who loves God must. Now, I've got this underlined and highlighted. My must love believers also. So there's no sense in whimsy-pimsying around. That's number one foundational laid, that we have to be lovers of the body of Christ. See, I'll get to one in a couple weeks or so, the second one, Galatians there. As you have opportunities, you're going to love everybody, but especially the body of Christ. These are significant, because this separates, because you know what? Most turmoil that's happening in the Christian circles is not happening from Satan. It's happening from the body of Christ still fighting one another.
Yes, sir.
And it's got to begin somewhere where we stop that. Stop it. Tell my puppy, stop that.
Stop.
Sometimes she listens. Most times she doesn't. But I said, get to your mom. And, of course, my beloved will tell you, oh, I know how to do it. And then I watch it just annihilating her, jumping on. Okay. Remind me not to try your example either. Puppies. But you know, we talk about dogs. I think God gave us those pets, and you can include your cats if you want. But it doesn't matter how long your day is, doesn't matter how many battles you've gone into, it doesn't even matter all the challenges your pet's gone through. When you come home, that tail is wagging, that dog can't wait to tell you. My dog, and excuse me on you on Facebook, but my pup is so excited to see me when I get home, it can't hold, and it does artwork with its going to the potty. So we make sure I greet her outside. We don't need artwork inside. But it's like, What a way to make your day, no matter how many challenges or water getting in the sanctuary, or we got this that didn't show, or we were short in this way. I think, oh, Jesus, and I tell Pastor Mike, we just take everything lightly. Thank you, Jesus. Nothing's going to rob our peace and joy. But when we get home and we're attacked by our pets, I think, oh, my gosh, that's the love we got to have for others. That when our husbands and wives come home, oh, honey, I'm so glad to see you. Oh, my goodness. Yes, yes. Except, yeah, you don't have to wear protection there, yes. Anyway, but you understand what I'm saying is this is where we're going to, and this is what we need. I was triggered this week by a song in my era. It was by a group called The Crazy Elephant. That's probably Mike. You might remember The Crazy Elephant. The song that they sang was from 1969, my graduation year. It says, give me good loving all the time, okay? But when you know, the secular are going to twist it and make it to be the wrong type of love. But for us, put it in the context. Isn't God asking us to give good loving to the body of Christ?
Yes, sir.
I don't think Jesus gives us bad. I think he gives us his best. And I think we need to see that avenue being released in others. 1 John 5, and let me finish in this section. It says, whoever believes that Jesus is born of God, everyone who loves him and also loves him who is begotten of him, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and we're keeping his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. Now, just because 600 and some were in the old covenant, Jesus still reiterated the precious ones that we need to do. Love God with all our heart, soul, and body, and love our neighbors as who? Ourselves. These are pertinent today. And that's why Jesus said the new scripture I'm giving you, he called it a commandment, not a suggestion, that you love one another as I have loved you. Look at me, church. Many of you got family people that have gotten messed up, involved in a lot of different things. Do you know that you're not the Holy Ghost? Your role isn't to sort out all their messes. In fact, it's been proven, I've been listening to different specialists that said a lot of these lifestyle changes and so forth, there was a whole lot of mess up that went on in households. And so what I'm saying to you, our job is not to straighten out Humpty Dumpty. Our job is to focus on being better and releasing the love of God. And let God, by the power of the Holy Ghost, change the things that needed to be changed. Just like all of us had challenges in our life that only the power of the Holy Ghost. And guess what? Most of you know there's areas in your life that nobody knows except him. And aren't you glad that it doesn't go on a public screen so we all get the focus and all the junk you've done or thought or conspired in privacy? You know what would happen? We'd really be challenged to love one another. That's why he says, run the race set before you. Don't look back. You can't relive what you did, but thank God that he loved us so much, he took all our junk on the cross with him, and he tells us now to love others with that same passion of love so they'll want what we got, and it's the love of God that's been shed abroad in our hearts. So my challenge is to you is not only get this foundational scripture in your heart, but implement it. All right, we're going to close going to 1 Corinthians. This is Paul, who did not have a wife. And guess what? The Holy Ghost used him to teach us on how we're to love. And I'm going to read this out of the message. And this is what it says. This is the way that we're instructed to love. And I'm jumping down to where it's taught. I'm not going to go through the first part, but I'm going to start at, well, mine's not chapter and verse in the message, but it's about, yeah, it's about four. Okay. Love never gives up. Love cares more for others than you do for yourself. You got to digest these. Now, this is how I do it. I put my name in here. See, God is love, but we're created in his likeness and image. So if God is love, I'm supposed to be love. Amen? So when I read that, I said, Weldon never gives up. Weldon cares more about others than he does for himself. And so then, once you say that, then you look in the mirror and think, okay, am I loving others more than I myself? Am I never giving up? Weldon, remember, it's love, doesn't want what it's not meant to have. In other words, he's not going to be envious and covetous. Oh, I want their house, or I want their cars, or their wife, or their husband. No. Love never struts themselves around. Weldon doesn't strut. Now, I may feel like it, you know. Romans 12:3 says, not to think more highly of yourself, but think soberly as everybody's put on the same level. Love or Weldon doesn't have a swelled head. Love or Weldon won't force himself on others. Do you know some of this stuff we learn as we go in love? You've heard me share. I don't put my way of eating, my exercise plan or whatever somebody asks me, I'll divulge it. But I'm not. I used to be, oh, I want everybody to get healthier. I want everybody to eat right. I want everybody to exercise right. That was bondage, because then people didn't want to really eat around you because they're afraid you wouldn't like what they were eating. Or then they would think, well, geez, I can't meet that standard. I'm thinking the only standard we're to meet is to love God. And whatever your personal challenge is, that's great if it's going to make you a better example for others to follow. But love is loving people right where they're at, and they don't have to change before you love them.
Amen.
Or look like you, or act like you, or think like you. You can love them whether they want a baby baptized or they want the full immersion, and you don't have to try to straighten out their doctrine. Love them, and they're going to want to search and find out. And some of those that maybe were baby baptized will realize, I want to now as an adult. But the key is this. It's not because you're trying to straighten people out, but I thought we need not anybody teach us but the Holy Ghost. And when the Holy Ghost does, we get free. And who the Son sets is free indeed. My freedom is not because some preacher told me all the things I better do to shape up. No, my freedom came as I fell in love with God, and when I got filled with the Holy Ghost, I fell in love with people, and I wanted people to know how much God loved them, and so God has had to grow us up so that we share that without repelling people out of our lives. Weldon doesn't fly off the handle, or love doesn't fly off the handle. Weldon doesn't keep score of the sins of others. Weldon or love doesn't revel when people are going through hard times. Like, I'm glad they're reaping what they sowed. Weldon will put up with anything. Weldon will always look for the best. Now remember, love. Put your name there. Weldon never will look back. Weldon keeps going to the end. Love will never die. Inspired preaching, praying in tongues, it will one day cease. But love will never fail. First verse of chapter 14, I'm going to close with this. Go after life of love as if your life depended on it, because it actually does. That's the message version. Go after love,
yes, sir,
as if your life depended on it, and it does.
Yes, it does.
Our life's abundant life depends on us having the love of God focused in our lives. So as I close this morning, number one, I challenge this flock and challenge you. Put this that foundational scripture of of John 13, 34, and 35 in your heart, in your memory. Second, show your love to another in a greater way than you have before. You know the people that come across your lives. You know, I challenge you, your homework assignment is love to a greater level somebody that you know that's going to cross your path. And lastly, and this is to parents of biological children, teach your children by showing them how to bless others by going out of your way. Teach your children how to love sacrificial. And this is what I want to close. When you give of yourself to love somebody with no benefits coming to you, you know that you've gotten to that next level of love. I challenge myself all the time. There was a best friend in my life that I hadn't seen for years that got sick. His family left him. Every week, and my wife knows, I would drive to this nursing home, and some of these places were not fun. And I would read the Bible to this person. I wasn't getting paid to do this. Wasn't someone from our flock. I read the book, Heaven is for Real. I took a chapter every week, read it to him to keep him encouraged, and worked on believing that his family would be reconciled. Well, the funeral ended up being here, but the key is he went on to be with the Lord. But you know, no friends. When we go into the prison, when I went in the prison last week, there's no pay for going into the prison. I mean, yes, you're rewarded by there. We're very grateful that you're there, but you give your love to bless others with nothing coming in return. And I'm not going to say nothing because you do get encouraged when they like ministering on Sundays and so forth. When we do the 1 week, one street, our youth, parents, our youth, to have a couple, Randy and Lisa are not on what you'd call staff. What little that the church blesses them with is peanuts. They're taking vacation time to rally young people here to teach them how to have a good time at night, but to go out and give of themselves with no rewards except helping less fortunate people on the city streets of Saginaw. I used to spend thousands of dollars with my wife to take teams around the world to save the world while I watch watch Saginaw go to hell in a handbasket. I said, something is wrong with this picture. We need to get back and see a difference in Saginaw. And that's why we planted that church down right on the corner of Weber and Genesee. That's why we invest in this. No, we get nothing back except it's a delight to see people come out of boarded houses and all of a sudden get to meet their friends. And you know what? You parents can encourage your kids to do things for others with nothing coming back. You don't get an allowance because you're doing this. You do this because this is the right thing to do. Because the love of God isn't a baby love of God in our children. It's the same. God bless you guys and the sacrifice you give off and don't take pay for a whole week to do that, to be a blessing, to train your kids up. What a sacrifice. Those are the types of things that most won't do. Because kids say, well, what you going to pay me, Dad? What you going to pay me, Mom? What's in it for me? What's in it for you is letting the love of God that's in your heart be shed abroad. So you parents, show them the way. You be the example. Let's close this morning. Father, we've come this day knowing that you graced us with your love. And every bit of that has filled our hearts today, Lord. And I pray, Father, for those that are viewing from a distance and those that are here in church today, that this love that's been shed abroad in our hearts, this love that will cover a multitude of sins, I pray for an escalation of release coming out of us and touching our homes, touching our families, touching our workforce, touching our neighborhoods. Father God, I give you the praise and the glory, and I thank you that you have given us souls for our inheritance. And I prophesy again that you've raised up disciples here that are not just into getting to heaven, but they want to be a blessing to others. God, give it back to them, Lord. Bless them beyond measure. And we give you the praise and the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. And all of us in agreement said, amen.